something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina, and Liz Dwyer is here. Now, you know Liz, she's been on the show many times before, and I suppose most recently because you ran the Future Beauty show in the RDS, which was a great success. And Liz, this is a particularly difficult, well, I mean, a horrendous time for everybody, but if you've got a beauty salon or you're a beautician or you're in that business, you're probably thinking to yourself, how on earth am I going to get back in business after all this?
Yeah, it's really, really tricky. Whether it's on Instagram or WhatsApp, you know, everyone's kind of gone, how are we supposed to do this? You know, it's literally a personal industry. You know what I mean? You could be in between someone's legs. You could be, you know, right up close in their face for an hour. So, I mean, it's going to be very difficult.
I mean, I saw some of the pictures going around of, you know, these ridiculous inventions for hairdressers where they wear pretty much like a raincoat and they have an extendable hairbrush. Would you stop? It's not going to work.
The biggest problem is going to be the air that they're circulating in. It's not like it's hairdressers, it's dentists. It's anyone who's, you know, there's aerosols involved or where air is being circulated in a room, you know, that can blow the germs around. So there's loads of different levels. Nikki and my sister and I, who run the show, have been kind of trying to do as much investigation as we can. The last few weeks we've talked to medical councils, dental councils, consultant doctors, dentists. You know, we're sitting at home fiddling our thumbs basically going, what are we going to do? And everyone else seems to be helping. So we thought we would try and use our skills, try and help people within the industry get back on track. We've set up a team called Back to the Future, completely complimentary service for people in the aesthetics beauty industry. So Nikki is a lawyer by trade. I am a journalist and I've done media and PR for about 20 years nearly now. And then we have added three more people to our team. Maria Morgan from Beautiful Jobs. So she's HR. We have PJ O'Brien from KBC Business Banking. He's looking after finance. And then we have Rob Rowe from Safety Squad. So the idea is between the five of us that we can offer people in the industry advice on everything from whether it's like, you know, the physical stuff, whether it's like, do you need screens? You know, what level of PPE are we talking here? You know, how are you going to protect your clients? How are you going to protect your staff? How are you going to get trust back again within the industry? Some people are dying to get their hair done, and yet the other half are like, oh, geez, I'm not going to a salon till Christmas. So there's that side of things. Then there's very practical side of things, like, you know, from a HR point of view, a lot of people put their staff on temporary layoff contracts. You know, how do you reinstate them? You know, what are your legal obligations as directors and so forth, and business owners? Then obviously finance, you know, how do we refinance things? A lot of people have massive equipment expenditure, as well as rates and rents and all the usual. And then also Rob from Safety Squad, he is great. Simple things like updating your safety statements and, you know, like really basic stuff.
Yeah.
So between us, we have a lot of information and a lot of experience. And hopefully we can help people in the industry, you know, because as we kind of keep saying, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. And the sooner we can all get back to work, the better it might be.
And it's funny because, you know, like if your business is failing, you have an idea, it's coming down the road. You don't close overnight.
Yeah.
And this is something that just hit people like a bus, really.
Yeah.
Had no idea they were going to have to close overnight. And then I suppose even in terms of looking after their staff, what do you tell your staff? If you're the owner, you don't really know.
No. Like people have been like really traumatized by this. I mean like salon owners, clinic owners, doctors, surgeons, everyone. Like you assume that like, oh, certain people aren't hit by this. But, you know, I was talking to a consultant surgeon in Blackrock Clinic there the other week, and she was going, the clinic has been taken over by the HSC, so they can't see any of their patients privately whatsoever, you know, and that could be skin cancer, that could be post-surgical stuff, you know what I mean? Like, so it's not just the kind of people like, oh, plastic surgery, you know, people can put that on hold, but actually, you know, there's a lot more serious stuff going on there as well. And again, with skin, if you're on prescription drugs for acne or for rosacea and stuff like that, you know, they all need to be monitored, and, you know, there's lots of other things going on as well as the surface stuff, like the nails and the lashes and all that kind of jazz, which, I mean, we can live without. We've seen on Instagram people.
You should see the like, state of me though, Liz.
Yeah, I know. And the hair, you know. And to be fair, I don't know if anyone saw our Instagram. Nikki and I dyed our own hair, and we got like all the kits. And mine came out like we did the exact same thing. She did mine. We bought the Garnier stuff down in Tesco's, and I bought the mesh online. So we were trying to kind of mimic what they did in the hairdressers.
Yeah.
And 3 hours to do my hair. Mine turned out actually super well. Then I repeated the process on hers. She turned out completely ginger.
So, oh no! Send me a picture,
you know,
of that. Like, I need to have a look.
I know. It was purple shampoo for a week.
That was the one that Holly Willoughby was doing the tutorial for on her Instagram,
yeah,
wasn't
like,
she? And I was kind of thinking to myself, there's no way she's doing her own. She couldn't possibly be doing her own hair. It's really hard.
Well, I mean, like, that's debatable. And then Eva Longoria had her one up as well on her Instagram, the L'Oreal one too. Like, I mean, I think it depends on your hair. Like, if you have, like, a plain colour to write, it might be that tricky. But I think if you have, like, lots of layers and layers of different highlights and lowlights.
Blonde is really hard to get right without going that gingery kind of.
So, like, I left it on for 90 minutes, and it said in the instructions 30 minutes. And like, I kept looking at it going, that's orange. Like, I could see them, because I bought those plastic mesh packets online, so I could see the kind of colour developing.
Yeah.
And I kept going, that's not white, you know what I mean? Because I know what the hairdresser looks like. It kind of looks white, you know? And then I got to a moment and I was like, what if I've left this in?
Well, I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of business in correcting home hair dyes, isn't there, when all this is over?
I know. And we had loads of people then sending us picture messages going, I did this last week, should have watched the video. They look like rainbow bright, like orange top, you know, yellow around. You know, we all want our hairdressers back immediately. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know? So listen, when it comes to, say, a beauty salon and PPE equipment, I mean, is it going to be realistic that they're going to be able to open and that they'll be running their businesses in the future wearing PPE? I mean, you can't go for a facial without the girl touching your face.
Certain procedures are going to be particularly tricky. Facial, massages, anywhere where you're one-on-one and you're there for longer than 15 minutes. I know, like in dentists, for instance, where again, you're very, you know, you're breathing effectively on top of each other. So what they have kind of put in place, which is kind of a good place to look at, you know, and take your call from effectively is, so obviously the big things people are going to be, all salons, clinics, everything are going to be doing is your triage system, like what they do in hospitals. You're not going to be waiting rooms with loads of people sitting around you. Appointments are going to have to be meticulously scheduled. Also, everyone's going to have to fill in these forms when they come in saying, you know, if you've been in contact with anyone in COVID. A lot of places are going to bring in the infrared thermometers where your temperature is going to be taken. And obviously, everyone's going to be behind screens where feasible. Again, if you have a look on our Instagram, there's loads of cool inventions actually being, not inventions, but like cool innovations being made.
Yeah, I saw Nikki had a kind of a mask up there.
Yeah, there's masks, there's like film that you can put on desktop. There's the COVID key, which I thought was really cool, like with just this kind of piece of plastic ergonomically fabricated that you can open doors with and you can touch keypads with and you know, pin pads for your pin numbers. So there's little things like that, but I mean, that's just kind of like the surface stuff. And also, it's going to be a big trust system. Like, people are going to, if a dentist or a doctor or your beautician will ask you, have you been in contact with anyone with COVID in the last few weeks? They're going to have to be honest because it's only going to work if we're all, it's the global honesty amongst us. So then when you actually are allowed into a treatment room or into, you know, the dentist room or the doctor's room, a lot of them are investing in these ozone machines, which are basically, you know, kind of disinfecting and sucking at the air, and they're really very expensive. We're talking up to like €12,000.
Oh no, she
which
couldn't
is, you know, a lot at the moment. Yeah, and then obviously the PPE gear that the dentists are wearing. You know, one of the dentists I was saying, she was saying it's costing her like €100 almost a patient in PPE gear between her and her assistant alone. You know, they're also asking people to use a particularly strong mouthwash, which would have a kind of combat the viral load. So if, you know, the patient is breathing on you, that actually you kind of get a 30-minute window to work on. Yeah. That the kind of viruses and bacteria in the mouth, they're not gone, but they're, you know, they won't pass half as easily. And obviously everyone's wearing the visors. Again, a lot of the doctors we've been talking to in the hospitals have said that they think the masks are a waste of time. Like, you know, the ones we're all wearing over our mouths.
Yeah.
Because people are talking through them and then they're pulling them down and then they're pulling them back up and then they're getting sweaty and they're trying to eat and then they're putting them on their forehead, you know. Mm. Like they're using them like a hairband, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas with the visors, there's actually a physical block there to find it more effective for dealing with patients and so forth. So I think visors are going to be the norm. Like, you know, the plastic sheet going down over your head. And long treatments, any long treatments. They say 15 minutes is a reasonable enough window. But like, you know, if you're looking for a facial, that's going to be an hour and someone is on top of you, it's going to be very difficult.
Oh, God.
The likes of Botox, that can be done in 15 minutes if all the other systems have been in place, like the numbing has been done, you know, beforehand. A lot of the doctors will be doing online consultations beforehand, so they know exactly when the patient comes in, what they need, where they need it, and they know what syringes to have ready, or they know what lasers to have ready, etc. And again, the whole thing with the medical aesthetics industry, you know, these are all doctors, you know, they've been trained in cross-contamination prevention for years. You know, this isn't abnormal for them per se. I feel a lot more, you know, safe in their hands. But then we're kind of going into the beautician end of things. I know a friend with an eyebrow bar, they're putting in the same precautions that the UV thermometers for all customers. Everyone's going to be wearing aprons, PPE gear, screens, 2 meters between all chairs. There's a lot going on. And it's going to cost the clinics a lot of money in respect. Obviously, they're going to have to invest in all the PPE gear, but also they're going to have, let's say they might have been able to get 10 clients in a given 2 hour period. Now they're going to be lucky if they can get 4 in, you know? Yeah. So their turnover is going to be reduced a lot.
Prices are going up for us then, is it?
I would say prices will go up, but they certainly won't be doing offers. I can't imagine saying, oh, come back, you know, COVID offers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd say it's going to cost them a lot more to open. And also insurance policies as well is another big issue. You know, everyone's going to have to talk to their insurance, their current insurers, and ask them about liability. And the other big problem is if a case of COVID is pinpointed back to your clinic or to your salon, the traceability You know what I mean? Can you trace it back? Yeah. But again, most people have computerized booking systems and they have all their clients' information on. So they'll be able to get in touch with them and say, you know, Trina was in here last week. She has COVID and anyone who was in contact with her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that traceability is a big thing as well.
Yeah.
So they will open up, but it's going to be weird. And it's not going to be going in, getting the fluffy, touchy-feely experience, you know, that we might have been used to.
Yeah, a lot of staff must be quite terrified about going back to their job as well when it does all open. It's changed it completely. It's like they're going back to do it completely. Like they'll probably be only doing the basic things, like the waxing, and you won't be getting any nice treatments, as I call them.
Like, I know in Hong Kong now they've opened all their spas, like fully opened them up. So,
and what are they doing in terms of PPE?
Same idea. Like, literally, like the dentists and the doctors, like they have the full gear. That, you know, they're keeping everyone in, you know, individual rooms. They are screening everyone as they come in terms of temperature, in terms of filling out forms. So they are open. So we can learn from what they do over the next couple of months and, you know, see what happens. But they are ahead of the curve from us in every respect.
But I guess salons don't even know whether to start taking bookings or not, because they probably don't.
I know loads of people saying waiting list starting now.
So you're going to be helping businesses with a plan, because your involvement as well in PR, you've got a huge amount of experience in PR. For those who feel like their business might not be able to return to the way it used to be, PR can really help too.
But the PR is going to stem from telling people, you know, hey guys, you know, we're opening back on X date. Look at all the safety and health measures we've put in place. So it's going to be a trust thing. It's going to be a massive trust thing. You know what I mean? After the initial surge of everyone panicking, going, hey, I need my nails, my hair, my brows, my everything else done. The next wave of people are quite too scared to go back to the salon. So that's going to be a big issue. So it'll be like, as I said, it'll be simple things like, you know, getting your photography ready of photographs of your staff, maybe in uniform, in their PPE gear, in the salon, you know, saying we're ready to go, and contacting local radio stations, local papers, you know, local WhatsApp groups, all that kind of stuff. PR is going to be really important, but you can only PR yourself and you can only PR what you're doing if you put all the other measures in place first.
Yeah.
And then after that, there'll be a lot of goodwill, I think, amongst the press as well going forward. Every business that reopens is, you know, a win for everyone, really, you know. The people on the team, Nikki, can help with legal matters, things like some contracts, what your obligations are as directors and business owners. Maria can help with HR issues, restaffing. She says a lot of people aren't going to go back to their jobs. They're very disgruntled at the way they were dismissed effectively over this, and they're not going to go back. Or a lot of people are, you know, quite happy spending time at home with their families and their kids.
Yeah, they realised it wasn't worth it almost, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. She was saying a lot of people are not going to go back. Sorry, that's my little... A lot of people aren't going to go back. So a lot of people will have to re-recruit. And then what kind of contracts are you going to offer people now? Is it going to be part-time, full-time? You know, there's so many implications. And then the financing, you know, a lot of people are going to need bridging loans, refinancing of equipment, mortgages, all that kind of stuff. Ourselves included, we will be. We've all been like going, how are we going to keep the cash flow going until next year? And then obviously Rob and the Safety Squad team, who were brilliant just for putting in practical steps in place as well. So it's completely complimentary for anyone in the industry. All the information is up on our social media channels. We're putting up masterclasses online every week, just videos with all of our experts and tips and advice. And again, people can have, business owners can have complimentary consultations with all of us on the phone or Zoom, or, you know, if it's realistic to go in person, they can do that too.
Okay. What is the website, or is that where we get the details, or what are the social media channels?
Yeah, our website is Future Beauty Show, but if you want to our Instagram or Facebook, Future Beauty Show, or LinkedIn, that is where all the masterclasses are going, all the information is going up.
Great.
And all the links and so forth are up there.
Brilliant idea, Liz. Well done to yourself and Nikki and all the gang as well for coming up with this.
Because we can help some people.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who wouldn't have a clue where to start, and I know it's a new kind of a new thing for everybody to get their head around.
Yeah.
But hopefully some information will be very helpful, actually, some of that information. So thanks for talking to us today, and the best of luck now, won't you? You've got your hands full at home yourself, don't you?
Again very soon.
Send me those pictures of the blonde hair, won't you?
I will.
Thanks, Liz.
Sorry about my little PA in the background.
Oh, that's it. Okay. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.